The sermon this evening comes from Exodus chapter 13, starting with verse 17. Exodus chapter 13, starting with verse 17. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up and marshaled array from the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. Then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light that they might travel by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you again for having spoken to us, and we thank you that everything that you have given us, even in the older covenant, is given for our example, that we would look and see how you have worked with your people in the past and how you call us to look at you and to think of you now. So God, bless us with wisdom and with instruction. Give us discerning hearts to see the ways that your word applies to us today, that you will be most glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where I grew up, it was something of a scrapper community. My uncles and my cousins, they were fighters. My cousin J.O., who was also my scoutmaster and my neighbor growing up, he taught me there are three ways to hit a man. And as I listened intently as he taught me, he said hard, fast, and often. And that's the way that you win a fight, as he described it. As I was a wrestler, and when we went on the wrestling mat, we were taught to have a sense of indignation in our heart when we went out on the mat, to be angry that the person would even dare to join us on the mat. And there was a fight and a battle that was going to take place. And I struggle watching basketball because it, in many ways, it's much more passive. I think you have that ball, hit the boy in the face with the ball. He puts his arms up, punch him in the ribs, is what I think as I watch. Well, when I became a Christian, this seemed as if this mentality could transition into the Christian world. That as hard as you could do something, you ought to do something. If you're in a discussion or you were in a battle, you were there to win. If you're in an argument, you were there in order to win the argument. This kind of started to play out when we started studying Kung Fu together, because we could go and be in the midst of unbelievers and have interaction with unbelievers while we were working there. We were invited to participate in fight night, which I thought, all right, you go and you follow the rules. You hit a man hard, fast, and often, and you try to win. And when they had me face off against another Kung Fu guy, I jumped in, fighting absolutely as hard as I could. And the Kung Fu master shouted, whoa, 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 Mr. Ramsey, what are you doing? And I said, winning. Well, it turns out we were sparring. We weren't trying to win. I wasn't supposed to fly in and hit a man hard, fast, and often. It wasn't the objective of the exercise. In our battles today and living as Christians, some of us will have the intellect to move into a situation and to fight. We might even be in a position to win an argument with other Christians and maybe even with non-Christians. I remember having read something like an apologetics book and listened to a preacher online. He described the idea of the agnostic, the A being an alpha privative, and the gnosis meaning knowledge. That means unknowledged if you're dealing with an agnostic. He pointed out then from there that the idea could also be translated or shared ignoramus. And I thought, That's great. That's a punch that you can win with. And next, I'm talking to a man who described himself as an agnostic. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And I explained what agnostic meant, unknowledged or lacking knowledge. I explained that it also means ignoramus. I think I won that argument. And the man turned and he walked away, being drawn no closer to Christ whatsoever. We look and we see the ways in which God has dealt with us and the ways that he was dealing with the Israelite people. Even here, when they are close to the land and they could move through the land of the Philistines and they could move in and they could fight and they could win, God chose not to slide them into that particular battle at that time. He dressed them in martial array. That means they had their armor, they had their weapons. But it was not time for that scrap yet. In running, you have to choose when you run. How far do I need to go? And you base your speed based on how far you have to go. If you saw me running in the midst of a distance race, you might giggle and say, that man's not running at all. Maybe a jog, as you would look at me. But we see that God is setting us up, and here he has been setting the Israelites up, not just for the battle that's right in front of them, but for a long, long march. Even as we interact with others, we're not there to win the fight necessarily in this moment. The expectation is that we will have relationships that will last, even in the midst of our congregation. We're not necessarily here to win the fight in the moment, but to have relationships that will last. As we move through our lives and as we look to finish the race well, as Paul described it. So the call for you this evening, as we look at Exodus 13, is to set your hearts for the long march. Our first step is to take heart. God considers your ability. Look with me at verse 17. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see the war and return to Egypt. I'm going to take issue with this translation here, that people might change their minds. It's not as if God looked at them and said, this might happen. It could happen. He's not placing his bets here or hedging his bets here. A better translation is, lest the people see war and change their minds. It was actually a given. At this point, if the people go in and they see battle, they see war, they're going to change their minds and they are going to go back to Egypt. God's dealing with them in these terms. He's looking at them. He's looking at their weakness. He's looking at their fearful hearts at this point. You can be encouraged that God looks at you and he does consider your weaknesses as he directs you and as he cares for you. He is not surprised by your weaknesses. He is not surprised when you stumble and you fall. Ephesians 6:10 gives us this instruction. It doesn't say, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. But it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. He actually supplies what you need with full understanding of what your weaknesses are. So, when he says, be holy, for I am holy. This isn't the end for you. This isn't, well, I can't pull that off. It's him already knowing your weaknesses and supplying his strength and him caring for you through the midst of your weaknesses. That's him being a shepherd. Him giving you what you need and leading you in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Our next step, moving on from God knowing your abilities. Number two, the immediate and expedient usually isn't best. Exodus 13:7. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. At one point, I was meeting with James Diamond, and I warned him that I was about to use some language that he would not approve of. And I said, I think it's going to be necessary for us to lower the bar here, because our dear brother is very much in favor of trying harder and doing better. And when I said it, he may have put his face in his hands when I said it. We're going to need to lower the bar here and expedite things as I was describing it. And that we ended up needing to have a conversation. And I wanted to hurry things up and move things along. It was a similar situation when we were moving to Eastvale and we were trying to get somebody into our house, get all of our stuff here. The parsonage was here where the parking lot is. And I'm talking to Margaret Carson on the phone and I'm describing, okay, this is how we would like to make these things work. And she said, well, dear, you'll find that it might take us a long time to accomplish that. And I asked, is that because we're Presbyterian? She said, no, honey, it's because we're elderly. There was this idea that we would be moving slowly, the immediate, and accomplishing things quickly and quickly getting things done. Although it's good and it seems very nice to get some place, we see here that wasn't how God was planning to do it. He could accomplish all things now. Now, now, now. But he doesn't. For him, 1,000 years is like a single day. He doesn't mind stretching things out and drawing things out. And the truth is, it's because we need it. You need things to take a long time. When I consider our saints that have gone on before us in their old age, look at what God accomplished in their lives. Look what God did in people who are brothers and sisters, our fathers and mothers, in 75 years, or 85 years, or 95 years. Some of us would look and say, no, surely not. You won't take that long with me. It might take me another 50 years to be a Madge Adams. 50 more years. But I'm telling you, it'd be worth it. It would be worth it as God would be accomplishing these things. The immediate and the expedient usually isn't best. So we prepare ourselves for the long road. Exodus 13:18. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Is your life going to take a long time? Hope so, right? We hope so. And that's okay. You actually have nothing better to do than what God gives you to do right now. And that's a great lesson to receive and accept in the moment. Many of us are eager to move on and get to what we imagine would be bigger or better things. You've got nothing better to do than what God has given you right now. The blessing of having the opportunity to be in the Word, the blessing to have the opportunity to reach out to others and to speak to them about the gospel. For some of us who still have young families at home, the opportunity to bring our children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. For those of us who still have our parents, to love them and to honor them. The opportunity to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. The opportunity to be God's servant where he has placed us. So God places us and he uses us and he works with us as units. He works with us as families. He works with us with our various burdens. He works with us with our various abilities. And there will be people in our midst that God places here with us actually to slow us down. And you know, that's okay. That is not a problem. He places people like that. He places the burdens in your life to slow you down. If I'm on the trail and I get an injury, God's given me that injury to slow me down. And it will eventually be good. So we bear with the things and we move along at the pace that God allows and the pace that God provides for us, making the absolute best of the moments that He has given us. So as we deal with the situations and the various burdens, we have another picture given to us in verse 18. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. And this third step is to prepare for war. Now the war that we are preparing for, it's not going to be like the redneck situation that I had described, hitting someone hard, fast, and often. It's not going to look like slapping someone in the face. It actually looks very different. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Now there's a powerful idea there for us that although I was trained to hit hard, fast, and often, it's not what we do now. The strange thing is, a man came to me at one point, a young man, and asked me to teach him to fight because I was the scrapper in our circles. And when he came to me, and I'm not boasting, in fact, I'm embarrassed of this at this point, he stood before me and I slapped him across the face. And he just stood there. So I slapped him across the face again, and he just stood there. And when I went to slap him the third time, he blocked it and he grabbed me by the collar and he gave me a good shake. And I said, "Good, there you go. Do you feel that fire in your gut? That's what you fight with. That's what you use for the battle." Well, we look at Scripture and we can go ahead and put me here, as I'm describing it, on one end of the spectrum and put Jesus on the complete other side of the spectrum. How He showed us that we actually fight now. Me, dead wrong over here. Dead wrong as we consider this. Jesus completely right. Jesus on the other side says, when they slap you on one side, turn and give them the other side as well. Jesus, when He's being arrested, and Peter draws his sword and goes in, and reading that the first time, I'm thinking, yes, here he goes. And Peter swings, and the guy slightly dodges, and the guy's ear comes off. Jesus bends over, picks it up, and puts it back on. I can imagine Peter being indignant at that point. All I got was an ear, and you fixed it. It's because that's not what the battle is. Jesus at that point says, "What do you think, Peter? Do you think I couldn't at an instant call and my Father would send legions of angels to rescue me?" It's not that kind of scrap, Peter. It's not that kind of fight. When Jesus is on trial, He says, "My kingdom's not of this world. If it was, My servants would become fighting now." That's not what we are. That's not what we do. The battle is different now. The battle is taking the hits now and not giving them. The battle is being able to accept the punishment and the hatred of the world and loving them anyway. It's exactly what Jesus Christ has shown us and has taught us in the ways that He walked, in the ways that He talked. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 gives us this instruction about battle. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." And just a reminder, that's strength to take a beating, not to give one. "To put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all of the saints. This idea of the strength that is being given. Look again at that last verse in Hebrews chapter 5. That having the meat and having been nourished and through practice, therefore we will be able to discern right from wrong. This is the strength that is being described, and that is being strong in the Lord. In Him. In His power. In His might. Fighting in accordance with His rules. So our fourth step is to honor your vows. We'll look at verses 19 and 20. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. It was a vow made. He made the Israelites solemnly vow, and that's what we do when we become members in this church. We look and we say, this is what the Bible teaches, and I give myself to that. I was talking this afternoon, and I've been listening to this book called Them, and it's the ability of particularly people in our country to marginalize one another. We need an us, and we need to be right. And there has to be a them for us to hate. We look and we have our struggles and we have our battles. And he was describing the breakdown of community. He talked about that Saturday night, or rather Friday night gym feeling, where everybody used to go and they would go to the events at their school. And everybody, you had this sense that, hey, we're on the same team. We're the good guys, and they're the bad guys, and whatever happens, we have to win. Well, he describes this breaking down and community breaking down, moving from the place where we enjoy one another in each other's homes to the place where we're isolating ourselves within our own homes. And do you know why we do that? Because it's hard to be friends. It's hard to be real. It's hard to be transparent. It's hard for people to actually see where we are off and answer and speak to our sins. When we want to run, it's hard to deal with someone who has a limp. And when they want to run, and we have a limp, it's hard to be drug along. As communities across the board in our nation, we're coming apart. We're not living out our vows to be a part of one another's lives and to support one another in our ministries. Do you think it's easy for iron to sharpen iron? It hurts. It's difficult. It's like it's hard to listen to a hard sermon. It's easier to run away. It's easier afterwards not to think about it and not to discuss it and not to apply it. But we have made our vows to care for one another and to support one another. So honor those vows. Our next step, number 5, is be confident in God's presence. Verses 21 and 22 of Exodus chapter 13. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. We see that God was constantly with them, and he was actually going before them. You are not a people walking alone in the dark to imagine that you may come around some corner and God will not be there to support you. You are either moving into a situation where he has told you to go and you can be confident that he will be there. The other side is you're maybe going where he has said, don't go. And that's the dangerous place. But we see that the people of God are constantly led. Constantly led as he speaks to us. A light is constantly provided. We are led and we are illuminated. And that's a good, safe, and blessed place to be. Psalm 139, verse 5. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. That he is always present, that he is always with you in the midst of the battle as he carries us along and takes us along. And Jesus echoes this sentiment in Matthew 28, 18, and 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So check this out. This is us going where he has told us and is telling us to go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And we see that as we go where he has told us to go, we are confident of his presence. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So it is that beautiful picture that the cloud by day nor the fire by night was never removed from the people. You're in a good place if you're listening to him. You're in a very good place if you're listening to him. You're in a good place if you're listening to him and going where he says to go. Even if it's hard. Even if it's slow. You're in a good place if you are listening to him. Even if there's fights. If you're not waging war in accordance with the flesh. If you're doing it with the ways that Jesus Christ has demonstrated, you're in a good place. You are blessed. So we look at our lives and we see, am I walking the way that he has told me to walk? Can I be confident then that he is with me? That it is his strength that cares for me and blesses me and equips me? Is it his armor? Is it his salvation? Is it his righteousness? Is it his word? Is it his truth? Is it prayer in accordance with his word? If yes, then I am in a good place. Even if it's hard. Even if it's long. Even if it's slow. Set your hearts for this march. With Christ Jesus, as he is with you whenever you go with him. Pray with me. Lord, we continue to thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your mercy, for all the ways that you have provided for us and the ways that you promise to continue to provide for us. Lord, give us those hearts to seek you and your will, that through practice we will discern good from evil, that we will walk in light and in love and in truth, and that we will know you are with us as we wage war in accordance with what you have taught us, not giving slaps, but accepting them and advancing from strength to strength. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.